Into the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Hope you're having a great day, great Friday. The weekend is almost here. Without further ado, Titans head coach Brian Callahan is speaking to the media. Let's go there live now.
I think all quarterbacks get the ball tipped. I think it happens. These guys up front are pretty good at timing throws and getting their hands in windows. Two of the tipped balls really came off RPO looks, which are easy to coach off of. You know, it's a little bit different pocket, and when you're blocking for a run and reading a pass, the rush can get a little bit closer than normal. So those are things we're coaching and working through. I don't, at this point, no sense to be alarmed by any tip balls at this point. It's kind of part of playing quarterback.
You talked a lot about Cody Barton, and what are you seeing from other guys competing next to him?
Really good things from James Williams. He's shown up. This padded portion is important for him. He started to read and react and be more physical inside, which has been good to see. I think Cedric Gray has done a really nice job. Anafernee Origi's done really well. So there's good competition there. These guys are coming along. They're doing what's asked, which is what you like to see. And they're starting to make some plays inside. And they go 2 days into pads. We're in a good spot. We keep rolling.
You talked about missing sacks a lot last year. A lot of the guys have talked about that concept of rushing together this year. How do you sort of explain that, and can that help in?
Yeah, it definitely can help. There's a, you know, how you deploy your pressure package when you pressure the quarterback, and when you four man rush is, you know, some of the things that we didn't do a good enough job of is just balancing the rush, giving quarterbacks lanes that they didn't need to have. One of the things that you see too is when you're a bigger, heavier front, the idea of trying to crush the pocket and take the tackles and push them back and try to push the front. So everything sort of condenses on a quarterback. They don't really like that from my experiences, and quarterbacks don't respond well to a solid push from the interior. You can deal with edge rushers. You can help on the edge. It's hard to help. Someone's going to get a one-on-one inside, and so that's kind of the key is who gets the one-on-ones and how do we win, and then how do we rush it together where everything's a little more coordinated from that perspective. So, again, I don't know that it's going to guarantee more sacks or not, but I think we have a better feel for what we want to do with the players we have.
Is it a little convenient to say you can deal with edge rushers when you're a team without a premier edge rusher? I mean, if you had Jadeveon Clowney, if you had the guy from Cleveland, you wouldn't be saying you can deal with edge rushers.
Yeah, there's some of them that you can't fully deal with. They're game-wrecking style rushers. There's only a couple of those. Well, absolutely. I'd love one. You'd love to have a Myles Garrett or a T.J. Watt or those guys. Those guys are incredibly impactful players. But there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different styles of player in the league that rush the passer. So we like where we're at. Certainly, if you had a, you know, number one overall pick pass rusher, that's great too. But you can help on the edges a little more than you can help necessarily inside. You can chip presence. You can put backs on them. There's always ways to try to neutralize a great player. Now, the great players tend to overcome those things too. So I'm not saying you can just eliminate a great player, but quarterbacks generally tend to feel a little bit better about being able to help on the edges and managing edge rush. And you want to try to see if you can't collapse the whole thing in front of them is the idea. It's not a new idea, certainly. I'm not preaching anything that hasn't been coached in this league before, but that's one of the things I think that'll help us.
Brian, what's the balancing act for you? There's the urgency to get ready for the season and show improvement from last year versus being patient with Cam while he learns and, you know, is going to make his share of mistakes.
Yeah, I don't think the urgency changes. You know, we're incredibly urgent. We know that these days just sort of tick by, and you look up and you're 2 weeks from the opener. You know, and there's a lot of things that we got to get better at between now and then. A lot of practice that's still left, but it's not as much as it feels like sometimes. And you look up and it's August 1st, and you play in early September. You feel like, oh, there's a couple of weeks, but it goes really fast. So our urgency is very high, and our urgency to correct mistakes is also very high. So there's a patience part, but we're trying to get everything ironed out as fast as humanly possible. So when we're ready to go play, particularly the first month of the season, we feel like we're in a good spot. So patience is part of it, but our urgency sort of supersedes that. We're trying to correct and get to a point where we can play good football as fast as possible.
Maybe along those lines, like when you said that you felt like an extra padded practice was in the cards, is that a result of something maybe you haven't seen through the first couple of padded practices that you need to see more of?
No, it's just the work. You know, we just need more padded work at this point, especially, again, when we're a week away from going against another team. Felt like it was probably the right decision for us just to get another practice in pads. It won't be as long as some of our normal long padded practices, but to put the pads on and get another day worth of banging in there, I think is going to be good for us.
How do you justify the fire, the passion, the urgency that you've seen from these guys day to day?
They've been incredibly urgent. Our competition in practice has been high level. The urgency in the meeting rooms, the urgency on the field, it's been super competitive. Those things I've been very pleased with.
Obviously, you guys have personnel conversations, but what's the dialogue like with you and Mike and Chad when you guys have the first waiver claim, but you see
in, not our end, Brian Callahan talking to the media before practice today. So the reaction from other media people up here are like, oh, what's going on there? So Callahan talking as they take on the Tampa
Bay.
From
all over the league.
There we go. Hey, Brian, go ahead, buddy.
Not commenting on anybody who's not on our roster. But, we look into everything. I mean, they're constantly looking through. I mean, they probably watched that preseason game last night six times trying to see what players are on those two teams that could be available. So it's part of the process this time of year. And we communicate all the time about our players, about practice that day, about potential waiver claims as they start to come up. All those things are ongoing conversations, and we got a great rapport, you know, between Mike and I and Chad and Ziegler. We do a really good job, I think, from that standpoint of communicating what, you know, where we might have some needs still and where we still need to improve our roster and where the things are improving. So it's been a pretty cool working relationship.
Brian, Ridley practicing today?
Yeah, so Ridley won't practice today. It is not injury related. We're gonna rest him today. It was just cramps. The calf was just cramps. There's nothing to report there. But we are gonna rest him today, just for the sake that we're going 3 days in a row. So we'll take him a day off, and I might rest another guy or two over the next couple of days. I'll let you know who those are and when I do it. And then the other one is Sweat. Sweat won't practice today. He's kind of day-to-day at this point.
Cam, he had categorized the offense as mid.
What does that mean?
I'm assuming it's mid-level, average, or below average.
Yeah.
Because he didn't seem happy when he said it. But where do you categorize this offense as far as where you guys are now? And is it kind of a case where the defense tends to just start ahead of pace?
I think we've been back and forth, truthfully. I think it's been a good competition. I think defense has had some good moments. I think we have as well. I think it's hard to see out here at practice, but I think our run game has really improved. We've had some nice runs that have gotten ripped off that I'm encouraged by. There's definitely things that, you know, we're 2 days into pads and going on our third day, and there's plenty to improve on. We certainly have work to do, but I've been pleased with the process. And again, the things that aren't good enough, we're coaching and working on. And I think Cam's in the same boat, and I'm happy that he doesn't feel like we've arrived. You know, we got a lot of work ahead of us still to get ready to go play Denver here in 4 or 5 weeks. And I don't think anybody should feel satisfied about where we're at, but we certainly have some good things going on, and we're going to keep working.
Is that one of the areas where you feel isn't good enough?
No, I don't feel that at all. I think our team's focused, and I don't know what energy looks like for you guys, but I know what I feel and what I see in the practice portion. Guys compete, we're focused, and there's not a lot of BS going on, and I think that the style of practice and the way these guys work is pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of extra with it, and I like that about our football team. Thank you.
Callahan speaking to the media here on this Friday. Now, this practice was not originally scheduled to be a padded practice, and the media was not going to be here, but then they opened it to the media, and then it is a padded practice today, as you heard Brian Callahan say. They're not going to go quite as long today as they've done in past, with a few guys taking the days off. I mean, it's been unbearably hot out here, obviously, as we know that. 44 days, temperatures above the 90 degrees, and then you add pads and running, everything. You understand that. So the Titans will practice this weekend. They'll have another open practice on Wednesday coming up. Then they'll fly, what I've been told, fly after practice Wednesday, have a joint practice with the Buccaneers on Thursday, and then the preseason game next weekend. Then they'll leave Tampa and go straight to Atlanta for joint practices with the Falcons and leads up to a preseason game 2 weeks from tonight in Atlanta, and then they come back for that. So the Titans will be gone for approximately, I think, 9 or 10 days to get some good work in. You know, it's funny, I'm sitting here, we're on a perch here at St. Thomas Sports Park, and I'd love, and I'll send this note to Derek Mason later on, our Derek Mason. I have only seen one Tennessee Titan player run out of the building to the practice field. Now, whether you think that's a big deal or not, it is to me. And the one person that's run out of the building to the practice field is Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody is just kind of taking their time getting out here. And you talk about the energy, and Callahan says, well, I don't know what the energy is to you guys, but I know what it is. Energy is to me and all that. Well, it's when all the media talks about the energy at Titans practice has not been there, there's a problem. I mean, Derek Mason noticed it day one that there was no energy in practice. And so that's kind of been a topic. Like, there's really no energy. I mean, and I understand it. You know, energy comes from big plays and oohs and ahs and things like that. But so far, nothing. I don't know what it's telling. I mean, Simmons, to me, of probably 50, 60 guys out there, he ran out. Amani Hooker just ran out. It's just the vets. That's how you lead, man. That's how you lead. You come out, it's the little things of sprinting back and forth to the drills and running out of the building to the practice field and, you know, and being vocal, being a leader. Does it mean you're going to win 6 games? No. But I'd rather have that and the veterans lead people out here to show what they can do and look pretty good about that. So, yeah, there we are. Titans practice on this Friday. It feels good. It's like 75 degrees. This time yesterday, I think it was 93. So, and there's a cloud cover over here at Metro Center. It looks good, feels good with all things that are going on. All right, we're going to – Chase McCable joins us a little bit. Dr. Crane back in the Busy Bee Studios. Dr. Crane, good morning, pal.
Good morning, Joe Dubin. How are you?
Oh, it's been quite a morning, but hearing your voice just makes the world a better place, buddy.
Well, thank you. I've been told that by a lot of people. So I'm glad I can add you to the list.
Did Nani ever tell you that?
She did.
Every day.
She calls me, you know, her sunshine and all that, pumpkin, all that, whatever you want to call me. I'm not a food, but, yeah, that's what people call me. Call me food objects.
I get that. All right, so let's get our question of the day. Chase will be there. I always surprise you guys with this. But it's just it's an important day. Today, August 1st, is an important day in pop culture history. Do you know why, Dr. Crane, August 1st is an important day?
I do have a hunch. Is it MTV by chance?
That's right. 44 years ago today, MTV debuted. And the very first song, Video Killed the Radio Star, and then Pat Benatar was next. And it changed music forever. Forever. So we've done this before, but hit us up with your favorite video of all time on our text line, 615-737-1025. We like to have fun with that. That's brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Your favorite video of all time. Dr. Crane, do you have a favorite video of all time?
I do not. I'm not a big music video guy.
There's got to be one that's peaked, P-I-Q-U-E-D, your interest over the years.
I mean, probably an Akon or a T-Pain music video. I think those were pretty funny back in the day.
Okay.
I mean, they all had great music, but it's a tough one. That's a tough one, Joe. I'll have to
all
think
right,
about
let
it.
Let me default to our on-site engineer. Sean Mark, what's your favorite? You do music. What's your favorite video of all time?
For MTV, it's definitely got to be Arms Wide Open by Creed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just the visual of him falling down the canyon and passing all the mountains.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. Let's get creep. Arms on up. Yeah. I haven't thought to me, it's Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. It's just a throwback to 70s detective shows back then. It's a very funny video that gets me laughing every time. And of course, Aha, Take on Me is always wanted there. That was a revolutionary video at the time. All right, we'll have fun with that. Question about today. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame game last night that nobody saw. And last night, the Atlanta Braves, Dr. Crane, and Cincinnati Reds had an historic game. Did you see this?
I saw some clips on Twitter about it. Was it the 4-3 chaos and Key Brian Hayes missed that, you know, I guess third base grounder? No.
It's something that's only happened 3 times in Major League Baseball history. You know, if it's big and it's baseball, it's got to be big because we're talking baseball, right? So it all leads up to the game tomorrow up in Bristol where they're expecting 90,000 fans when the Braves take on the Reds at Bristol Motor Speedway. And there is a massive Tennessee connection to that game tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that when we come back in a little bit. We're live today at St. Thomas Sports Park as the Titans are now on the practice field stretch, and we'll give you the very latest from there as well. Much, much more here on the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. He's Hollywood Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Joe, thanks for getting things started. Had to wrap up a meeting.
No problem, man. That's what we're here for.
In honor of it is Hulk Hogan Day, that is a Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix, Hollywood Hogan's theme in WCW. So I had to play that. And now you're Hollywood Big Joe. So congratulations.
No. I'd rather be Rayon City Big Joe.
I like our question of the day. And Shamir DK is going to join us when practice is over. Looking forward to that. Chris Sanders at the top of the hour, and you have a very good question of the day, and I have an answer that might surprise you.
Well, I just think it's a monumental day. We love pop culture. It's a monumental day in the world of pop culture because MTV debuted this day 44 years ago. We had the discussion about videos. Thrillers at the time. I mean, you retired Thriller to the rafters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so, you
know, that's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so that's number one, and after that, it's fun. Our engineer here, Sean, was like, Creed, arms wide open, which is, I looked up, I forgot about the video. It's a great video, but we all each have our own interests, and mine's Sabotage by Beastie Boys, and yours is?
Mine is so one of my favorite albums of all time, and you know I think you can agree I'm an old soul, is Aerosmith's Pump that came out 2 years after I was born, but was an album that I just loved in high school, and the video for Janie's Got a Gun is my favorite.
That's a great video.
Alicia Silverstone is in it, but I mean it's just so well done. I love Aerosmith. So that's my vote.
Hey, they might be coming back because Tyler did that tribute to Ozzy Osbourne and sound pretty good. And folks are like, hey, yeah, give us one more. Like 20 cities, do one more, do a really good goodbye, and then that's it. So you never know with all that goes on.
Yeah,
it's part of it. So let me bring – I know you're a big Braves fan.
I am.
And so something – you know, if I'm talking baseball, Chase, you know something big happened last night. Did you see what happened last night in the game with the Reds?
I read about it this morning. I went to bed pretty early, and
I
threw my phone in the toilet. So,
well, in the game last night, the Braves and Reds both scored 8 runs in the same inning, and they had 16 hits. The Braves ended up winning, and I think 10 innings, 10 innings, 12-11. But an ordinary Thursday night game to the Braves and Reds in the 8th inning, when the Braves broke a 3-3 tie by exploding for 8 runs, only to allow the Reds to storm back with 8 of their own in the bottom. Third time in Major League history that both teams scored 8 or more runs in the same inning. It's also the third time in the expansion era that two teams combined for 16 or more hits in the same inning, with each team posting 8, which leads into the game tomorrow at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, I've only been there once for a football game. It's massive. You've been there many times for a race.
Yep.
And if you've never been, when you go over that little hill and go down, I mean, it's the biggest thing sporting venue I've ever seen. It's like
Thunder
a spaceship,
Valley.
Right?
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
spaceship.
Oh, it's awesome. Tomorrow is going to be a really cool event between the Braves and the Reds at Bristol. Ryan McGee was on Chasing Checkers earlier this week. He and Marty Smith are going to be there doing Marty and McGee. And you know, we were talking about it as two guys that love NASCAR and love racing. And he said one of the coolest things is going to be walking around the ballpark and, you know, kind of going, oh, wait, this is where Rusty Wallace and Earnhardt got into it. Oh, this is where Tony Stewart threw his helmet,
yes,
you know, and all that, kind of figuring out where things are. It's another innovative event put on by Marcus Smith and Speedway Motorsports. They are the parent company of Nashville Super Speedway and Bristol. And, you know, he keeps coming up with crazy ideas, and they keep pulling them off. I mean, 90,000 people at this game, which is going to shatter an MLB attendance record, I think is so cool. So it's going to be a really neat event. But yeah, I did keep up with it this morning, you know, it's kind of funny because my favorite team's the Braves, but I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for the Reds because that was my dad's team. I guess he kind of liked both, but. And so, you know, went to a bunch of Reds games growing up too. So it's always kind of fun when they play.
Well, not only that, but there is a massive Middle Tennessee connection to the game tomorrow. It's a former Beach High School pitcher, Chase Burns, is starting for the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow, in, like you talked about, in the most attended baseball game of all time. I just think that's very cool. I mean, he played at Tennessee and then transferred to Wake Forest for his last year, got drafted, and now he's setting down dudes in major leagues right now. So that's really cool to watch that young man get to pitch, starting pitcher, one of the biggest games ever.
Yeah, and he's going up against Strider. So, I mean, I think it'll be a good pitching matchup. I you know, what's funny, and Dr. Crane, maybe you can help me, and we'll address this here in a minute. Obviously, I had a lot going on yesterday. What happened with the trade deadline? Anything big? I think I read that the Twins basically traded their whole team.
Yeah, the Twins got rid of Carlos Correa, and Carlos Correa stayed true to his promise. If he ever was traded, he'd go back to the Astros. Back with the Astros, that's a big move. As for anything else, obviously being a Cardinals fan, Ryan Helsley, the best closer in the NL, is gone. Now he's with the Mets, so congrats to Willie and Teron there. Johan Duran left the Twins.
Did they need a closer?
The Mets, I mean, they're a pretty decent ball club. They're putting together a good franchise. I mean, a good, I guess, MLB roster, that is.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are just trying to rebuild. I really don't know what their direction is, but that's besides the point. Johan Duran left the Twins to go to Philadelphia. So the Phillies are making a good push for the playoff run. I think, you know, having that duo of Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, but having their bats really kind of develop into Castellanos, obviously, has been injured the last couple weeks, but Bryce Harper, Alec Boehm, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner. Some of those guys have been off and on, but that roster as a whole, especially that starting nine, is pretty lethal.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you for that update.
And a little Rockies update, by the way. The Braves. Oh, yeah. The Braves Wednesday grabbed a right-handed reliever. You'll hear in my Game Center update. So,
Okay. Oh, nice. Hey, our friend Chip Walters just said another really cool effect for this game in Bristol is that ETSU baseball is getting the turf after tomorrow's game. They're donating the turf to East Tennessee State baseball team.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
That is.
We'll have Chris Sanders at the top of the next hour as Joe is at Titans training camp today, and Shamir DK going to join after practice. They just started practice, right?
They did, and it's interesting that somebody asked Brian Callahan, what did you need this practice because you're not seeing something you liked, it wasn't tough enough, whatever. He's like, no, I just felt like we needed to practice just more time in pads. So he answered the question. He tried not to answer the question, but he answered the question. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, why are you doing this practice? You need it? No. We just thought, you know, we don't need this at all. We just, a little more time in pads would be good. I'm like, so you need this practice. And the whole thing is, we talk about this, is, you know, first day, Derek Mason talked about this. We've spoken about it a lot, the energy. And now that's the whole theme. It's dominating camp. It's like, where's the energy? And I think Teron had a good point, Davenport, about sometimes energy comes from the oohs and ahs of the plays, like, oh, there's a 60-yard bomb to Ridley, or Cody Barton intercepts a pass. You know, when that happens, there's that energy. But, you know, for me, it's, I don't, you know, this guy's just working. You know, I mean, do construction crews ooh and ah all day when they're doing stuff, getting to work, right? I don't think they do. I mean, so to me, it's a bunch of nothing right now. And then, but who knows?
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll kind of revisit our conversation with John Robinson that we had yesterday, because there was some pretty good stuff. And
right.
I've been reading a lot of those quotes in different places. And also, I will address the elephant in the room, because I know a lot of you are waiting for that. So we will do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday. Big Joe out at training camp. I'm here in studio. This is a good one, Joe.
Well, it was the first time it came out, we were like, what in the world is this about? Because it had that animation and the 3D and just really cool. It's hard to believe that video came out, I think, in 1984, 85. Good Lord. But it's still iconic video, man, because it was the first one like that.
Before we get to John Robinson, I do want to address some things, because depending on who you are, I am a terrible person or a great person right now, and I certainly that comes with the territory. We did announce yesterday that Jared Stillman is no longer with 102.5 The Game. He is a tremendous talent. This was, you know, obviously one of those things that kind of happens in the business that sucks, I guess, is the best part, best way to put it. Jared has been a part of this station for 10 years. He has honed his skills here, grown as a broadcaster, grown as a person. He and I have literally grown up together through this, through our different paths. And, you know, he's a good person to his core. At the end of the day, this is a business and things happen. That's, you know, as John Robinson said, I can't go into everything, but that's, you know, that's basically what it is. I know he has a following. I know some of you are upset and, you know, have had some choice words for me, and that's fine. I know that comes with this job. What I will tell you is, as a station, we're going to be just fine because we have a great team on this station, and we are a team and going to continue to be a team on this station. With Robbie and Rex Road leading things off from 6 to 9, Jake Lyman is an up-and-coming talent who is going to do great things from 9 to noon with a rotating cast that will be coming through, including Teron. You will continue to hear Paul Kuharski is a part of this station. You will hear other people as well. And so we look forward to that. And then, Joe, you and I get to slide into lunchtime and go noon to 3. Dr. Crane will be here with us, and we will be going out and having lunch with people and doing the show and having fun like we always do. And then DVD with D-Mace, Adam Vingan, and Willie Donick will be your new afternoon drive, 3 to 6. And, look, Willie is no stranger to afternoons. He's done afternoons a long time in his career. D-Mace being there is going to be awesome, and Adam as well. They've built a really, really good show in their current slot, and they're going to be great in afternoons. So I'm excited about our team. I'm excited about our station moving forward. I thank Jared for his 10 years with us and wish him nothing but the best and know he's going to continue to do great things. And I hope all of you will continue to listen and give us a chance. And that's your choice. And I welcome feedback. I welcome. Now, if you insult me or my family or whatever, you can go to hell. But other than that, I'll have a conversation with you. You know, that's when you get personal, I'm not going to talk to you. I mean, that's a keyboard warrior, and I pray for you and hope you find the peace you're looking for. But look, this is what it is, and Jared's not here anymore, and we move on. So I appreciate everybody for listening, for asking. That is what I can say. And, you know, Joe, if you want to add anything there, but we wish Jared the best.
Absolutely. I have nothing to add. You said it all perfectly right there.
So John Robinson joined us. The show goes on now. So John Robinson joined us yesterday, and I thought, look, we didn't know what to expect going into the interview. I was very grateful that that he, you know, agreed to do it. And this was the question that I asked to start things off of. So why do you think we're sitting here and you're not the GM at training camp?
I guess probably if I could have bought some mulligans, you know, yeah. Like before the golf tournament, you know, you can pay for those mulligans. I probably would have bought a handful of those. You know, I think at the end of the day, let me first lead off with I'm extremely appreciative of Amy, of Kenneth, of Barkley, of the Adams family for taking a chance on a hayseed from West Tennessee and giving me an opportunity to do what – that's not the ambulance coming for me.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Why is that ambulance two-tone blue? Like, yeah. What is
that? But I'm extreme. I mean, they certainly changed my life and my family's life for the opportunity. But you know, at the end of the day, I was charged with managing decisions as it related to on the field stuff, and I didn't do my job well enough at times, and that's what happens. And again, certainly some things I would love to have back. A lot of things that I'm extremely proud of that we were able to do in my time there. But that's the way it goes, you know. There's only one perfect man that ever walked this earth, and none of us will ever be that. but our purpose is to try to strive to be like him as much as we can.
That was John Robinson yesterday on why he is not the general manager anymore. I he kind of went into it that there were things he couldn't discuss, but I thought he answered that question, and I feel like the feedback on the interview has been pretty good. Of he answered things the best that he could.
Well, and that, you know, we told him after the interview, I was like, you know what, things, you know, he was nervous. He admitted to me when I met him before, we talked for about 10 minutes, he was nervous. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's the first time you've spoken publicly, really, about what happened on your tenure here. So you're a little nervous. And I said, look, you know, now you've opened up. Now the questions have been answered. You told people what you can and can't talk about. So it's all downhill for you in a good way. You know what I mean? Now it's out there, and you can talk, you relieve. And I asked him, Chase, I said, were you concerned? Because people are passionate. I said, have you at any time been concerned about your safety? Because there were some tweets that came in. Chase, you read them. We all read them. Like, there's some people that are highly upset. Now, 99.9999% of them aren't going to do anything because they're sissies and they shouldn't do anything. But it was, he said, at the beginning a little bit, because, you know, people were mad. He goes, no, I'm fine. He goes, I went to a restaurant the night, and, you know, guy took a picture with me and just thanked me for things that went on. And so time forgives, right? Time always forgives things, and it's not easy. But we discussed for a few moments about mental health, you know, and it wasn't – he was very genuine about that, because somebody sent me a note and said, oh, that's just a cop-out. I'm like, when a man opens up about mental health and you say that's a cop-out – that I that drives me insane. You know how I feel about that. Both of you guys know this, because it takes a lot for a man to open up about that and say, look, I went through some things. You know, Ryan Tannehill admitted he went through some things after the Bengals playoff game, right? So things happen, and it's part of your journey in life, and he seems to be doing well. He's a good dude, man. He just a couple of bad trades, just a good dude. And so things happen, you move on, and so I was very grateful that he spoke to us yesterday on the show.
You asked him about AJ Brown, which was the burning question. Here was his answer on that.
That's a topic everybody probably is tuning in to hear about. And I would love to give in the details. I can't go into the details on it, but there was just a lot of discussion that went into that decision. Ultimately, it was my responsibility to make the decision, you know, and again, if I had one of those mulligans, I would probably do that. And that's nothing against Traylon or anybody else. But I think AJ's went on to have a great run. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of where he's at, mm-hmm. and what he's been able to accomplish. But sure, I mean, in hindsight, if you had a do-over, I mean, I'd be an idiot to sit here and say, no, I'd do it again. Like, no, you'd do it different. But we made the decision that we made, and then, you know, the rest is what it is.
When you say, if you can't talk about it, I understand it. When you say we, who is we?
Well, anytime you make a decision, right, it's collectively as an organization, there's a lot of people involved, right? It's not like it's like when the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator, when they call a play on Sunday, it's not like they're shooting from the hip. Right. And they're like, I'm just going to run this play, even though you haven't practiced it, you haven't talked about it, you haven't watched it on film. Like, you go through every scenario with your organization. And it's the same thing in roster building. It's like you're going through, you know, your free agency stuff, you're going through trade proposals, you're going through draft prep. And you talk internally and you meet. And, you know, you come up with scenarios. All right, we can do A, we can do B, we can do C. As a team, and I think I said this at the press conference after, you know, we made the move, it's like we collectively we made a decision to do this, and that's what we did.
Yeah, you know, and I think
that was John Robinson on the AJ Brown trade. We'll continue to discuss this. We'll also take your calls 615-737-1025 here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big Joe's at training camp. Our training camp coverage presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. A lot of people wanting to weigh in. Kenny the mailman. What's up, Kenny? Hey, by the way, before you say anything, thank you for the card that you sent me about Sawyer. That really made my day, and I appreciate that.
Well, hundreds of dogs in Cheatham County are wagging their tails because of him. I hope that makes you smile.
It does. A big smile.
Hey, and y'all just played a song. If you knew True Art, you would know that Eat It by Weird Al is one of the greatest.
It is.
Is ever. He is borderline genius goofball.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yes. Joe, can you hear me on your hookup?
I can, sir.
Your interview yesterday was absolutely awesome, but you sort of threw me off a little bit when you started hollering, "Who ordered the code red? Who ordered the code red?"
Oh, well, you should have, right? I mean, that was, but no, thank you for the kind words.
Well, listen, May 27, 2027 is going to become an important date. Do you know why?
Stadium opens up?
No, that is the last check John Robinson will get from the Titans. Then you will get the true answers, because yesterday you sort of had to have – it was your question, then John's answer, and then you really needed an interpreter to really say what he was trying to say, because when people are paying you, you cannot say what really happened. So,
well, let me ask you this, Kenny. Let me ask you this. I don't think he'll ever tell us why, because if I am a prospective team and I'm hiring a GM – I don't want another GM spilling secrets publicly. Now, privately, you could tell me things. Because what happens if I let this guy go? If it doesn't work out, is he going to do the same thing? That's why, you know, John is very smart about this. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he can and can talk about. And that's fine. We're going to ask, like we did yesterday, like Chase and I did yesterday, and he can say, I can't talk or I can talk. You got to ask the question. His response is up to him.
Well, you really didn't find out what was on his playlist, though. That was the hard-hitting question you missed. That's a good one. I always go back to the Michael Scott theory with owners. They want all of the credit and none of the blame. So when you go by that, I mean literally, that's how they live their life. They want the credit, but they're not going to take the blame. So insert that into each situation. Listen, I appreciate y'all. I know leadership has its hard decisions and everything. But you get a lot of people through a lot of long, hot days and cold days, and I'll be there no matter what.
Well, Kenny, thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. And look, I, you know, it does come with the territory, so it is what it is. Eric wants to weigh in on A.J. Brown. Let's go, Eric. What's up?
Well, the interesting thing, guys, and I know, you know, John Robinson's not going to be the details, but everybody was talking about the day the trade was made at the draft, that Mike Vrabel was very, very upset about it. You know, I'm wondering if he was involved in discussion about trading him or something like that, if he fought for him or what the issue deal was. But now, apparently, I've heard other rumors that people think he signed off on it. And of course, we'll never know. But I just thought that that was real, real interesting about if he specifically knew before it happened, if he didn't find out until after it happened, just. And if he discussed it with him, and you know, because you don't want to say that somebody fake reactions or whatever, but I just thought that that was kind of interesting, because of course we'll never know, and I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that. Guys, it's always good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care and have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. You want to take that?
Well, I mean, we'd ask him about it, you know? I mean, the react, because I asked John, I said, why is there a camera in that draft room? He's like, content, baby. And it was, the reply was, and I understand it, but I've told you, I'm a huge body language lie, body language guy. Body language doesn't lie. It's never lied. It's never going to lie. Vrabel's body language and that draft, when that went down, go watch it. I mean, go watch it right now after you hear John yesterday. I'm not sure Vrabel – I'm sure he's like, all right, this is never going to happen. We'll see what we can do. I think Vrabel's caught off guard. I really, really do. And if it's if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But his that reaction there was what it was. But John said, look, it was a collective. We, you know, a collective. So, I mean, you have to talk to your owner about things. You have to. I mean, she's the owner of the team. You have to talk to the owner about massive contracts and deals that go on and all that. That's part of it. So we'll never know why, and that's we'll keep guessing and find. But I think we know why. That's all
I'll
say about that.
Yeah, 100%. Edward wants to make a comment. Hello, Edward. Edward, you there?
Hey, Chase, how we doing today?
Going once, going
Hello?
Twice.
Hello.
I'll literally right at the call back, Edwards. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally as I'm hanging up.
Sir, give me your hand. Oops.
Sorry, Edward.
That's all right. Ed, call right back.
615-737-1025. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, going to join us next. He always brings positivity, and we'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.